Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today, I'm afraid we dip our toe back into the murky pool of crimson carnage. Rome is home for William's brutal tale of revenge, mutilation, and family dysfunction, so extreme that it frankly makes Game of Thrones look like an afternoon tea party between Pooh and Piglet. Anyway, it is in the tragic tale, the hemorrhagic history, if you will, of Titus Andronicus that we first find the word bloodstained. Now, blood has been around for quite a while, considering it's what flows in our veins ever since. We've been around, certainly, but naming the rivers of red that race through our bodies more than likely came to William from the Old English blood, which itself originated from the Proto-Germanic blodam, or the Middle Dutch bloet, possibly coming from the meaning of to gush or spurt. But nailing any etymologist down to a definitive source is like getting something or other out of a stone. Anyway, to Rome. Titus returns victorious to Rome with the captive queen Tamora of the Goths, but his decision to sacrifice her son ignites a cycle of vengeance. Saturninus, newly crowned emperor, decides to take Tamora as his wife, not only deepening the web of intrigue and violence, but also providing the Goth queen with a platform for revenge against Titus. In a truly sickening scene, Tamora's sons, at their mother's direction, brutally assault Titus's daughter Lavinia, sexually assaulting her and cutting off her hands and cutting out her tongue to silence her cries for justice. Meanwhile, Titus's sons are falsely accused of murder. Titus, now broken by grief, pleads for his sons' lives, but is mocked by the emperor, who he installed, by the way, and after their execution, the grief-stricken father begins to plot his own revenge. Lavinia's mutilation is finally revealed to him, and through her the guilty parties are identified. Titus then feigns even more madness as he prepares his horrific revenge. As we enter Act 5, Scene 3, Titus has secretly killed Tamora's sons and, in the finest tradition of the great Roman bake-off, uses the raping murderous offspring of the Goth queen as secret ingredients in his pie, which he serves to her before telling her and killing her. Having seen his wife killed, Saturninus then kills Titus, and Titus's son Lucius kills Saturninus, and as nearly all major characters are now dead, Lucius is left to restore order as he is hailed as emperor and governor, and has Titus's body brought before him.
Lucius, all hail, Rome's gracious governor!
Lucius, all hail, Rome's gracious governor!
Thanks, gentle Romans. May I govern so to heal Rome's harms and wipe away her woe. But, gentle people, give me aim a while, for nature puts me to a heavy task. Stand all aloof. But, uncle, draw you near to shed obsequious tears upon this trunk. Oh, take this warm kiss on thy pale, cold lips. These sorrowful drops upon thy blood-stained face.
This would not be the only time Uncle Will would use blood-stained. It would come up again in the first part of Henry IV, spoken by Hotspur. But as with Titus, though, we didn't really need the description. The stage, at that point, was not so much blood-stained as soaked. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.